had me worried there for a minute. Some of you may be disappointed because last Sunday night we were told by Andrew that this tonight we would go wandering with him through with the children of Israel. Tonight, instead, you'd be wandering and maybe wondering with me as we look at operating systems, applications, and fake flowers. First, what is an operating system? It's a comprehensive system, and an operating system is a comprehensive program that manages all applications and programs. In other words, it controls all actions by a computer. We all have our own personal operating system. It's formed by a combination of influence from past and current events and people. Our first operating system is what I'm calling tonight, a social operating system. It's by infants. And depending on what their needs are, they are able to communicate it to us, whether it be by loud noises or other ways, to let us know they want food, sleep, or a diaper change. As we grow older, we're influenced by other things for our social operating system, such as teachers or TV friends or other religions. In fact, in today's society, there's a lot more perhaps influenced by social media for our operating system. They just change the whole concept from whenever some of you were young, you didn't have to put up with that. But gradually we were drug into a different time to live, and we've learned a little bit more about the advantages and also disadvantages of online or social systems or communications, whether it's by text or by emails. Anyway, those very things have changed the way we operate, how we think. Every one of us have a method that we use to make our decision by. Tonight we're going to look at three different things that I think we would mostly agree that we would want for a ideal operating system for ourselves. One would be that first, that operating system would always work. Those of us who use a computer sometimes know that they don't always work, or we don't always work them right. Number two preference, I would say, would be a perfect and never needing updated operating system. And those can also be times that you may pull out your hair, and some of you have done quite a bit of that. Last would be a warning of me that an application that I was looking at might be harmful or contaminated or some way or another change who I want to be. There's any number of systems that we might call operating systems, but tonight for our personal operating system, I'm going to choose that there were lump everything into four different systems. One of them I would call social operating system, affecting mainly by sociology or economics, feelings, background, people around us, our social lives. Next, I call the scientific operating system, and that is through all the ones in ology almost, and that affect us, whether it's looking at how we look at things in the sky or how we dig up things out of the ground or whatever, but those can affect our personal operating system. And then there's what I'm calling, just put in quotes, a religious operating system. These are teachings by men, and sometimes they are included or are based on scriptures. those sometimes are the hardest ones to distinguish between. And the last one, which I hope that we would all agree and we will look into as we go along, is what I'm calling a biblical operating system, where the Word of God is the only physical and spiritual guide that we have. Often, these four operating systems do overlap and affect one another. Something happened in science or geology may affect how we consider or think that we should be socially, or how people used to be may affect how we look at things today, or we try to figure out how they were acting before. But of these four systems, we're going to try to measure them by what I've used as four things that we would want from an ideal operating system. One was that guidance by the society's norm would always work. We know that has some problems. That there are social acceptable norms that, and they're always or every once in a while revised, updated, or changed. And the last one is that we're warned or taught to avoid things that may do us harm. These things will overlap, as I said. Now, how does a scientific operating system work? Well, I'm using this as it's a guidance that we have by scientific sources. That do they always work? We see over and over how they change for us. Science being one of those I talked about was astronomy. How many times in the last year have we learned that either there's this big black hole out there, or the universe is much bigger than we thought, or that it's expanding faster than anyone can measure, and all this stuff. Then those type of things, even though it's not perfect, they do affect us. And of course, that shows that these conclusions by, for a moment, we'll call scientists, they need and require and are almost constantly updating and changing or upgrading. Does science correctly warn of harm, decisions are happening to them to avoid now? No, it is something that we have to be cautious of, that this is not, I don't think, how we want to operate or make our lives, or how we depend on how we react or to each other or with others. The other operating system was the religious, that I put in quotes, operating system. That's guidance from men. One of the things we wanted on our operating system, remember, was that it always worked. Well, we get a lot of different changes from the guidance of men. The different opinions. Are man's religious conclusions perfect, or need periodic revisions, updates, or changes with the times? How many times we heard and say, well, we were wrong about such and such. Here's what we really need to be doing. The other thing about the religious sources warn us of impending dangers for our actions, and always use the Bible to set us on the right path. Of course, another thing would be that answer to that would be wrong. So these we've looked at so far, these three, none of them are fitting the criteria we started with about always working, not needing to update, and it helps us through our lives. However, if we look at the biblical operating system, does guidance from the Bible always work? Amen. Yes, it does. We may not understand it, or we may have to go through something to understand it, but at the end, we may begin to understand it, but then later on in our lives, we may look back and see, that was what I needed. That's helped me today to be who I am. Is the Bible perfect without any need for updates or revision? Yes, it certainly is. We may have different different times that the Bible from different ones changes, different versions, what I was trying to think of. Does the Bible not only warn us of things that are wrong or harmful, but provide a way to avoid them and do right? It sure does. If we will read our Bible and make that our operating system, think how many times in our own lives right now that we could have avoided something that, well, there was consequences later that we wish you never had to affect or handle. It may be a person, or it may be one of our children, that if we had only known such and such, or if we only acted this way or that way, we would have avoided some hard times. I want to now take a look at some examples of how a person's own operating system can cause them to have different opinions and understandings of the same word. What is a lie? How many times have you looked on or seen on TV news or whatever, or maybe in the neighborhood, this social operating system? A lie is not telling the truth. Yeah, but it's okay if we're doing it to obey, you know, avoid some problems. And instead of calling a lie, what do we hear oftentimes? I think it's because they're afraid of being sued for slander. They use the term, it's an untruth. Or then there's other times when we may be discussing something with someone and say, well, that's your truth. What are they saying? There's more than one truth. We know there's only one truth. Another question that seems very basic to us that we should be able to answer easily, but, excuse me, that is, what is a woman? And this, how is it defined by our four different operating systems? Socially, they say maybe it's an adult female who lives or identifies as a female, although they may have been born with a different sex. Scientifically, would answer this question, perhaps it's, it's an individual of the same sex that brings forth young or children. A religious operating system, again, supposed, in quotes, it's an adult female referred to as a wife, mother, or sister who can bear children and can include individuals who identify as females. And our last operating system, which I hope we all aspire to use, is the biblical operating system. A woman is an individual created from Adam's rib, capable of conceiving and bearing children. You may be called a wife, a mother, a sister, a widow. It is not a big question in most Christians' mind of what a woman is. You may remember that when this question some of us perhaps saw on TV in December, a congressional inquiry was being made, and they had three presidents of prestigious universities in the United States come in before the committee and inquiring and asking them different questions. One of the questions they asked was, what's a woman? And you know, all three refused to answer. They said they had stuff like, depends on the circumstance. It depends on how they're thinking. And it's something we just can't define. These were presidents of three really prestigious universities. At least since that time, at least so far, one of them has resigned as president, but being protected somewhat, she retained her same amount of money she was making and moved into a different job at the same university. Another question that we ask of these for our four different operating systems, remember, about whether it works or whether it's always there, needs no revision, it's perfect, or whether it'll help us away from harm, keep us. What is a marriage? It used to be a simple answer, and it still is if you use the Bible as the operating system. However, socially, It's a legal union before God, uniting man and woman. It could be a union between two persons. It is, but not excluding members of the same sex. Scientifically, what is a marriage? It's a reproductive or social arrangement between a male and a female. In the quote religious operating system, we have it's a union between a man and a woman, the union between two persons, and it does not necessarily exclude members of the same sex. Last operating system, the biblical one. It's an institution approved by God between a man and woman for life. Personally, I do believe that there are many in these other operating systems, so to speak, people that have, well, they believe and agree with some of these things that we've been talking about, but they're kind of scared of being censored by a small minority of people. Last one of these questions we're going to look at is how these four stack up with a question. Who is there a God? Socially, many believe God is something, or he's a fantasy that no one can see. Some even, he's like a Santa Claus, and he's there if I need help, if I promise to be good. Scientifically, great conclusions they have. There is no God. He's a fairy tale. And everything began with a big bang. And how dare we try to insinuate there was a creator? Religiously operating systems. God created everything. Maybe it was in our 24 hours. He got everything started, then sat back to see what happened. You know, some of these use this... They call it a gap theory, that once God started creating, then there was this length of time that just things sort of set there. And that way, that's why we have a Earth that every one of them agree on the exact same age, of course, of the Earth. Not really, do they? They also look at this and believe that, well, you know, even in your own Bible, it says... A day is like 1,000 years, or 1,000 years like a day to God. So they say, well, that helps us out because there's thousands of hours or days in one when we talk about the creating of everything in 6 days, and then God resting on the seventh. Well, the way to get around it, it must have been years and years and years in day one and day two and so forth. So that's why they sometimes try to help out the Bible or Christians to understand that, okay, it could be this way. What can we always depend on? We can depend on God's word being perfect, and he's unchanging. In James 1:25 says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. This is what I'm saying is should be our operating system, knowing what it is and then doing what he told us to do. We also can see that God, our scriptures, are from God. 2 Timothy, all scriptures God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then, what is the word? It says in Psalms, the writing says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. What does that mean? It can guide us, take us through dark times, happy times. But that we need a guide is also there. Another reason why we should choose a biblical personal operating system is from Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his own step, in Jeremiah 23. So learning how to use the Bible as our operating system, guiding us day by day, hour by hour, will take a lifetime, and does, of study and effort and prayers to become more aware of the instruction, benefits, and promises, and current and future rewards we can receive as a person using the Bible as our sole operating guide and system. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:16, talking about some of the letters that Paul wrote, says, they're hard to understand. It says his letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures. Peter here was not giving us an excuse, or trying to give us any excuse for not studying or giving up on studying. This next part, you sort of understand where I'm coming through with about God and the Bible being our personal operating system. But unlike so many, we do not Paul speaking. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men of God, there in 2 Corinthians. You may have been wondering, perhaps, how I could add, for instance, fake flowers into the title had for my lesson. Well, it's maybe a little bit of a stretch of imagination, but I've never been accused of having no imagination, so here's what we're going to try. What is a plastic or silk flower? Or what is a Christmas tree that we don't go down and cut out in the field at someone's house or in our old farm or wherever? We go down, we buy one off the shelf, perhaps at Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, and there's a word that we use to describe these type of things. That word is artificial. Artificial. What does that mean? We're going to look at the definition of artificial and intelligence. Artificial is something that's man-made rather than natural, especially as a copy of something like a counterfeit. As we go along soon, too, in this lesson, we'll be talking about intelligence. That's the ability to learn, understanding, and the skill to solve problems, the collection of information. We can recognize an artificial object, or if we use the Bible as our guide, we can also recognize an idea or teaching that is artificial. Now, I've read that some treasury, maybe some of you have too, some treasury agents, as they begin their training, they are told and required to spend hours and hours in training of examining what a dollar or $5 or $20 bill is like. Why do they do that? Is to be able to know what is the real thing. If you know what the real thing is, then you can identify what's not real. And that's something we, as Christians, need to do. We need to be able to identify the perfect word from man's artificial intelligence. How do we do that? Something like those treasure agents. We should be like the Bereans. Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians because they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. That's the way we can determine which operating system we want to have guiding our lives, whether it's social, scientific, a quote religious, or biblical operating system. We're going to look at some of the differences in three or four words here that is used by people around us, and see that the use of different words, their meaning has changed, and sometimes it's only because they want to make something sound less ugly or make it sound nicer. Now, but there's a definite difference between man's definition of these words and that of God's definition. The word yay. You know, for some of us, when we were growing up, gay was not a bad word. You know, it just meant you were happy or having a good time or you were just a happy, joyful person. But instead of using the term homosexual or other of those words, they decided to call it gay. That sounds better. It's more acceptable. Oh, you're gay? I didn't know you were that happy. That's not what they're talking about. But God calls these people that are homosexuals, He doesn't call them gay. In fact, He calls them shameful and depraved and have a depraved lust. And that's in Romans 1st chapter. Another word that society and religions around us have changed is the word baptism. If you talk to many of your neighbors or someone in the neighborhood and so forth and ask what baptism is, they'll probably have a lot of different definitions or ideas. What's sort of become more acceptable in society is a baptism is like pouring or sprinkling some water on someone. This would include infants. But what's God's definition of baptism? Scripture calls this immersion in water of a believer into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for the gift forgiveness of sins. Another word that's tossed around pretty loosely, and sometimes we hear it when we're, quote, in church or talking to other Christians. The word Christian, to some people it means it's a nice, moral, kind person. But according to the Bible as our operating system, a Christian is the one that's identified as one of Jesus' disciples. He's a follower of Jesus in Acts 11:26. How many times have you heard someone say, well, he's a nice Christian. He's not a member of the church. He's a nice Christian man. They're talking about someone's nice and moral. But that doesn't make him a Christian yet. What about the man Cornelius? Cornelius was a soldier, a centurion, as an occupied army person in Jerusalem area. I know for a fact from people I've talked to that one guy in particular that was in the occupying army right after the defeat of Japan, and he spent the last 2 years of his enlistment or drafting, right after the war was over, he was assigned to be in Japan. He talked about how that when he walked the streets in Japan, since he was a member of the conquering army, they would go to the other side of the street or bow their head and not even look and try to avoid, because the occupying army is usually not very kind to those that have been conquered. Well, Cornelius, it says he was a kind person. He prayed. He gave alms. He did many of the right things that Christians would and should do. But he wasn't a Christian yet. He sent to have Peter come and talk to him and teach him. And then after he and his house were baptized, then they became Christians. Before that, you can say, well, he was the Christian. Cornelius was one of those who occupied in Jerusalem. They part of the conquering army, and you know, later on he was baptized. No, we have to be careful about using this term Christian. I think we need to be cautious. I think we should be a little bit jealous of it, because being a Christian means we're like or following Christ, not just because they've been kind to us, not just because a person shovels our driveway. Some people would say, well, I don't use the Bible as my guide because, you know, is it really relevant today? Hebrews 4:12 answered part of that for us. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even in dividing soul and spirit. Joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Is the Bible the perfect personal operating system? He tells us in 2 Peter 3, 16-17 that the Bible is, it's all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Perhaps we should start using this slogan. Don't just Google it, Bible it. Many times we go online and we look for an app. We may have a question or a study that we've been doing in our Bible, and we come across one of those things that Peter talked about Paul's writing, that's hard to understand. It's not an excuse. It's not something that we avoid and don't study more because, hey, this is a little bit more difficult. But sometimes in today's society, myself included, we look and see what other people may say. We may go to on the apps and look at different commentaries. These commentaries may be written by Bible scholars. They may be written by preachers, influential preachers. And some will find that are written by members of the church even. But they are an application. They are not the Word of God. They may help us to narrow down or understand pieces of it, but at the end, what's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to be like the Bereans. We test it. We look to see and investigate whether it actually coincides with what the Word of God is teaching us. Again, instead of just Google it, we should Bible it. I don't mean that to sound bad. I just came up with what I thought kind of a catchy thing at the moment. But we have to depend on the Bible and what it says, not what we may learn online. We even have friends and loved ones who may, and often do, have other opinions and thoughts about baptism, which we talked about. Or we have some that think, well, a woman is someone who, you know, may may have been born a woman as a female, may have been born as a female sex problem, but she decided to change. Well, we need to balance that or base that against what does the Bible, again, what does it teach us? What are we supposed to be doing? We know that we can always trust God. And by knowing and choosing to follow His word, we can lessen, or at least avoid perhaps, some of the impact that we face of temptations by following man's artificial intelligence. Social operating systems, scientific operating systems, and even those, quote, religious operating systems are not the answer that we need to know what to do and how to live our lives. We have one operating system that we should personally adapt and learn more and more from. It doesn't mean that we're going to understand everything or know everything. I knew a lot more at 18, 19, 20, you know, than I do today, I think. I have a lot of different questions today. I used to think, but you know, this, I understand this differently now. I don't mean I thought that I was completely in error, but I learned more perfectly. Isn't that, when there's someone that was taught that, seems like there's a guy named Apollos there in Acts. He had been defending the truth and was good at it. And it found out that he didn't know about baptism. And so Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and taught him more perfectly. And right below that, we learned there's about a dozen disciples of John. Remember, disciple is a person who follows someone. And those men had been baptized. They were baptized in John's baptism. They were taught more perfectly, again, about Christ, and they were baptized in Christ. One thing I want you to notice there when you read that part, it didn't say they were rebaptized in Christ. I believe that's a misnomer. That's a misuse of the word. You cannot be rebaptized. Sometimes we have people who, in their youth, many years later, they go, you know, I don't think I understand all I needed to, and so I won't be rebaptized into the church, into Christ's body and death. The first one wasn't baptism then. What we have to do as Christians is watch our, we talk about different languages, how we define words, gay, baptism, and so forth, or what is a woman? It may be that there are ways that you don't understand and maybe never will, because what do we read? We read that man's wisdom is what? God's foolishness. So there are things that are difficult in His word, but there's plenty there that tells us and we can understand what to do, and there's plenty there for help us to promote more digging, more understanding, more looking into who God is and what He wants us to be. In the reading we had earlier about Ephesians 2:10, it talks about there was a good works prepared in advance for people to do. The way we'll know how to do those good works, and perhaps recognize them too, is by what the Bible shows and tells us to do. Maybe you've been caught up in the artificial lure of success or pride or some of those things today. You need to do a reboot. You were baptized, you were a follower, you were a Christian, and you're doing these things, and you learn more about what the real operating system, the Bible, is. we all probably touch our computer and almost hate to see it, need a reboot. Well, that's the opportunity that some of you have tonight. If you have a need, then we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. Perhaps you haven't ever began to adopt the biblical operating system. We know that to do that, we talked about a little bit about baptism a while ago, that you, by knowing the word and listening to it, then it will cause people to repent or change what they're doing. And those, that repentance leads on to confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. And by doing that, just as Cornelius, Apollos, and those John's disciples, they were baptized into Christ. Tonight is your opportunity to reboot or to actually download, so to speak, into your lives as a biblical operating system as we stand and sing.